Welcome to The Cosmic Connection. This is your place to explore the beauty and order of the cosmos.
And your connection to it all.
My name is Amanda Poole Walsh, and I'm the founder of Astrology Hub.
And I'm Rick Merlin Levine, your cosmic navigator.
Now let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Today, we have a very special edition of the Cosmic Connection for you. Rick, have we ever had another guest on this show?
We had Tad Mann on once with us.
That's right. Okay, so this is only the second time ever in the history of this show, which has been going since 2020, that we have a guest with us today.
Right. That's 2020 BC. We're going on 4,200 years of doing this.
It certainly feels like it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we have today with us harmonic astrologer Clarissa Dolphin. She is one of the best harmonic astrologers in the world. I can say that. And then we have Rick Merlin Levine, who, of course, is masterful in so many ways. And today we're going to talk about the difference between, well, first of all, we're going to talk about harmonic astrology. What is it? Is harmonic astrology and vibrational astrology the same thing? We're going to talk about harmonic aspects versus harmonic astrology, because Rick has been making that distinction quite a bit here on the Cosmic Connection, really emphasizing that his chart reading extravaganza and the harmonic aspects course that he did was focused on the aspects, which is actually different than harmonic astrology in general. So we're going to talk about all those different things and the nuances, and we thought it'd be a great idea to invite Clarissa into this conversation. And Clarissa, we're so happy that you're here. Thanks for joining us.
We are.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been dying to have this conversation. It's just such an honor to speak with both of you, but, you know, definitely another person in the entire world that does practice harmonic astrology. It's like super esoteric, but it really is the future of astrology. So I can't wait to like dig into the bones like with Rick.
Yes, thank you. And Rick's been saying the same thing. He's been saying very consistently on the podcast for the last few months, if not years, that the harmonic aspects and the things that they reveal in the chart are actually taking us into the future of astrology. Clarissa, why do you say that?
Well, so harmonics are literally fractions of a circle. And we're going to get like more into that, like in this discussion. But basically, long story short, a lot of astrologers, particularly Western astrologers, are very reliant on the zodiac for analysis. But when we start to travel in space and erect natal charts from space, we can't use the human zodiac because we're not on Earth anymore. But we can use harmonics anywhere in the universe. The septile, the seventh harmonic is going to be the seventh harmonic everywhere in the universe. And so on and so on and so on. So it's like this introduction of the future of not just astrological practice, but really kind of quantum reality.
Let's take a step back for a second, okay? And talk about what harmonics actually are and why that word has crept into our vocabulary. I think that's really important because I'm less interested in talking about what's different, what the differences are between harmonic astrology or vibrational astrology using harmonic charts, that's all on one side of the equation, and using harmonic aspects, because the differences are just a simple, they're just simply how deep do you want to dive? They're looking at exactly the same thing. And what the important thing that sits behind this to really understand, And I've asked this question of you before, Amanda, but, you know, it's one of those trick questions I ask every student of mine. And that's, you know, okay, so we're talking about the signs of the zodiac. How many signs are there up there?
Well, 12.
Well, no.
There's 12 signs
of the zodiac in here.
Oh, yeah.
There's stars.
Yes.
And the only thing that's consistent about those, about the macrocosm, is that some objects that appear to be objects seem to be stationary, and other objects seem to be resonant frequencies. They seem to be harmonics of cycles. In other words, the word harmonic is simply defined as a multiple vibration of a fundamental vibration. And here's the thing to understand, is that what we're doing with harmonics in modern astrology is based upon basically the work of three people along the way: Pythagoras, Johannes Kepler, and John Eddy. That's the chain of development of all of this, because it was Pythagoras who said that the universe consists of vibration, that there's no such thing as anything solid, everything vibrates. And a cycle is simply a very slow vibration that we can count. And in order to understand the vibration, we need to look at partial vibrations, which are what aspects are. So in other words, we divide a cycle or a circle in half. Let's just look at the moon cycle. We divide the moon cycle in half because it's a great way to figure out, you know, to deal with what it is. And half of the moon cycle is a fortnight, because a moon cycle is a moon. And a half of a half is a week, because a week is simply a half of a half of the moon cycle. So if anyone says, oh, I don't believe in astrology, I always say, oh, so you don't use a calendar. How do you get by? I mean, I guess the calendar is basically about harmonics of observable rhythms. So here's the thing, is that it's really easy to divide a cycle or a circle by 1, 2, 3, 4. That's where we start, just to kind of quantify. And the number 12 is absolutely mathematically incredibly important, because you can divide it by 1, 2, 3, or 4. You can take a circle and divide it in half or in quarter or in thirds. Or for that matter, you can take, you know, a half of the third and get a sixth. And these are all astrological aspects that presume that the 12-foldness of the cycle is absolutely required, fundamental, and it's important. Without 12 signs, the whole thema mundi, the whole the concept of planetary rulerships and everything falls apart. And it was Johannes Kepler who was the first astrologer and said, you know, the signs may not be as important as we think they are. It's all mathematics. And of course, it was the brilliant mathematician Johannes Kepler who figured out the mathematics of how the planets move, called the father of modern astronomy. But he also invented or discovered or introduced the division of the circle by five. That's the quintiles. And by eight. Those are the octiles. We as astrologers would not have the word quintile and octile if it were not Johannes Kepler, who said, we don't need to stick to the 12-ness. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that every brilliant mind can only go so far. And basically, Kepler, although he introduced, you know, the quintiles, and it was a very important thing, he basically said, there's no such thing as a septile. They're too complicated. God doesn't use them. So every breakthrough mind, whether it's Albert Einstein not quite being able to grasp the randomness and the theoretical nature of quantum physics, or whether it was Johannes Kepler who opened up the door to those stepping outside of the 12-fold zodiac and still saying, no, seven's too complicated, and geez, from that manner, probably so are 11s and 13s and other prime numbers. But that's why, you see, ultimately, the entire physical universe is a result of harmonic intersections, interactions of higher frequency vibration. Everything physical is created by intersecting vibrations that are vibrating at the times of trillions of trillions of cycles a second. I mean, when we see a color green, we're just seeing, about 500,000 trillion cycles a second, you know? And so the point here is that everything vibrates. We are animated self-aware crystals that vibrate just like a cat's whisker, a quartz crystal in a radio that, used to couldn't make a radio without a quartz crystal because it had some natural vibration that was used to feed the rest of the circuit. So it's from there that we then progress into the mathematics of John Addy, 20th century British astrologer, who basically introduced a whole layer of mathematics beyond Kepler, who basically said that when you look at harmonics, there's no limit to how high frequency we can take those harmonics. Remember, astrology is based upon a 12th harmonic system because there's 12 signs in the zodiac. But when you look at the fourth harmonic, you're looking at basically the four elements, fire, earth, air, water. And so basically Kepler took us out of the realm of 12 and into the realm of harmonics that inform the physicality of everything, intersecting radiation or waves or sound waves, Chladni patterns, where you can vibrate sand on plates and change the frequency and the patterns change. Well, that's what we are. We're changing patterns based upon harmonics. And I didn't mean to go on to such a long rant, but it's important to understand that vibrational astrology is one way of looking and jumping into this world of harmonics that really sets aside some of the fundamental assumptions that we've had, whereas harmonic aspects is really what's the technical word? Chicken shit way of jumping into something very complicated, because what it does is it gives us the benefits of understanding that there's way more than meets our eye without necessarily leaving the safety of land. When you're swimming, if you got land in sight, you're good. And that's what harmonic aspects do.
Okay. I know you said you don't want to talk about the difference.
I didn't say I didn't want to talk about the difference. I said I wanted to talk about the similarities first.
But so my question is, I don't understand why all of astrology fundamentally isn't harmonic or vibrational.
It is. When I teach this, I often start the class with, okay, how many people here in the room are like doing charts, for fun, for money, whatever? Almost everyone raises their hands. And I go, how many of you use harmonics? And about three or four people usually raise their hand. They go, okay, put your hand down. How many people don't use harmonics? And three quarters of the class goes up. Okay. And then I say, listen carefully. Aspects and harmonics are identically exactly the same thing. It's just a different language. If you use a trine, you're dividing a circle by three, you're using the third harmonic. If you're using a square, you're dividing a circle by four, one quarter, that's the fourth harmonic. You can't use aspects and think you're not using harmonics. You're using aspects like a kindergartner would because you're thinking that the aspects that you're using are based upon the zodiac. They're not. They're based upon divisions of the circle, and your thinking is limited as long as you only rely on the numbers that divide into 12.
Okay, so it's almost like we're redefining what is the underpinning of astrology in the first place. We're recognizing it and we're taking it further. Clarissa, is there anything you want to say to what Rick just shared?
Good Lord, yeah, there's so much. So I think one, in terms of what you just said, Amanda, in terms of redefining like astrology kind of in a modern context, is very much informed by sociological and psychological history and, stuff. And what, to me, fundamental astrology is mathematics. It is advanced trigonometry. When we're talking about erecting a natal chart or a nativity for anything from Earth, event chart, doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're creating a topographical map that goes into space-time. So, but in order to kind of like even like then we'll do like, oh, Catherine this and blah, 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 blah. But we're missing out on like the fundamental math, like which is the 360-degree circle. 360 is infinity already, right? So instead of just having like this topographical map, where basically if you look at a natal chart, like you can land a spaceship like on any given point from there, right? And like ultimately, if you're looking at it from kind of like a more like harmonic perspective, what we're dealing with is we're actually dealing with not just a map of physicality and matter. We're dealing with a map of infinity, infinite fractals, infinite things. So things like cutting that 360 degree wheel into four, which would be the fourth harmonic, the square, let's say nine times, that'll be the novile, etc. What we're acknowledging is that the chart is also a subatomic entity. It is an atomic, like when Rick was talking about we're all energy or whatever, we're all made of atoms, subatomic properties. So the chart is a living vortex. It, where you can go, you can travel through the entire universe from the natal chart. We're used to seeing things on paper and on screens and all that kind of stuff, but we're not used to interacting with the chart like it is alive, like it has properties such as electrons, which it actually does.
So here's Britt, let's bring this back down to ground a little bit, because the real thing is that all astrology, even astrology that is zodiacally based, traditional, classic Hellenistic in the West, or Jyotish, Vedic astrology in the East, is based upon aspects. In other words, when you take the circle and divide it by 12 and say Aries Libra, you're talking about the basic opposition. When you're talking about Aries Cancer or Aries Capricorn, you're talking about a square. And so the geometry of aspects, the sacred geometry, is still the underpinning of even those people who are only using traditional zodiac aspects based on 12. The thing to understand, though, is that like looking through a microscope at a drop of water, you can look through that microscope at 100 power or at 500 power, or at 10,000 power, or with an electron, a scanning electron microscope that sees the subatomic particles or the collision paths of the subatomic events. And the thing is that you're looking at the same thing. And when Clarissa was talking about the fractal nature of reality, this is part of the concept that we astrologers know from the emerald tablets of Hermes Trismegistus. The as above, so below, the within is as the without of things. It's basically, you can see the patterns repeating at any level. What are those patterns? The patterns are the angles created by those things in movement. And so those things which we normally look at as a conjunction, square, and opposition, the 90-degree angle is the maximum interference energetically of any two waveforms. So here's the difference between harmonic aspects and harmonic astrology, or as Clarissa's teacher David Cochran calls it, vibrational astrology. I mean, look, all astrology is vibrational astrology, whether you're practicing David Cochran's vibrational astrology or not, just as all astrology is evolutionary astrology, whether you come from the school of evolutionary astrology or not. But here's the thing, Amanda. If you're looking at a chart and you see that the person has a T-square or a grand square, in other words, there's two planets in opposition and a planet 90 degrees to those two planets in opposition, a T-square. We can see that in a natal chart, and that's the fourth. We're seeing a fourth harmonic pattern because it's one quarter of a circle, one fourth, the squares, and the oppositions are one half, which is really two fourths. And so they're all fourth harmonic. But here's the thing is I can change the power of my horoscope, just like my microscope, and I can change that to the fourth power. And in the fourth power, instead of calling that circle 360 degrees, I divide it by four, the fourth harmonic, and I get a circle that is actually 90 degrees. I know it still has 360, but I'm mapping 90 degrees around it, meaning I need to go around it four times to get the entire zodiac. Now, if I do that and I have a T square natally, those planets in my T square in the fourth harmonic chart will all be in exactly the same place. They will be a conjunction. And because in a fourth harmonic chart, conjunctions, oppositions, and squares, those are the fourth harmonic vibrations, one half, which is two quarters. And so you have the conjunction, square, and opposition all lining up in a conjunction. But then two planets that are opposed to each other are really like a half square or a square and a half. And for that matter, two planets that are 90 degrees each of each other in the fourth harmonic chart are a half of a square. And so the biggest difference between harmonic astrology is that it uses harmonic charts, which now take us out of the world of 12 signs, out of the world of 12 houses, and we're just looking at the higher frequency harmonics, the higher vibrations of these interference patterns. Whereas when I'm looking at harmonic aspects, I'm looking at them in the natal chart rather than creating an entirely different tool, which is a powerful tool. But then I've lost land. And I don't say that critically. I mean that for those people who like the idea of land being in sight, they can still jump into this realm and get their feet wet, begin to understand how it works and what it is, without taking that mathematical leap into some unknown world.
It's like baby steps. Yeah.
Well, it's like Chris Brennan says that sun sign astrology is the gateway drug to horoscopic astrology. I like to think that the use of harmonic aspects is like the gateway drug to realizing that everything is vibrational. Every planet in your chart vibrates. Every pair of planets in your chart, I don't care what their natal aspect is or whether they have none, those two planets actually have a dance and a relationship and a hum that when they reach that hum, every other planet falls into continuity with that. And that's something that most astrologers just don't grasp and they don't use, they don't understand.
Okay, two questions. Number one, as you're speaking, I can't help but think one must be a master mathematician to even like scratch the surface of this. True or untrue?
Clarissa. Well, that used to be the case. It used to be the case that you had to be a master. You had to know how to solve a spherical triangle, use logarithms, trigonometry, and you'd have to be able to go out and make the sightings. You know, you'd have to be a brilliant mathematician to do astrology. Now you hit a button, and you can hit that same button to get your harmonic, you know, resonances. I mean, when I first got into harmonic astrology, back in the same days that David Cochran did, we actually calculated damn things on a calculator, you know, basically one planet at a time, and you get real good at calculating the 125th harmonic manually. And it's something that, you know, how many people calculate charts manually today? Oh, but no one.
Clarissa, I know you have a lot of students that you teach harmonic astrology to. How many of them do you think like self-identify as mathematically inclined people?
Zero.
Oh, okay. So it's really because of computers, we don't have to have a basic fundamental confidence in math itself necessarily.
Not at all. I'm an F- math person. In fact, in college, I took remedial math like in my, you know, first year. And now I'm like math obsessed because of harmonics. And really, it's just, so let's make it simple. Like when we're talking about dividing a circle and cutting it up four times for a square, etc., a square is a shape, right? Like it's literally. So when Rick is talking about, you know, vibrating and resonances, etc., they're all like streams. So this introduces the strings that resonate. Like it's exactly like it's so much of harmonics align entirely with music theory and quantum physics, like period. So basically, we've got these shapes. If you look at harmonics and you're doing a harmonic analysis, it's so easy to read because you're seeing things like cardinal crosses everywhere. You're seeing kites, you're seeing cradles, you're seeing all this stuff. That's because the resonance is so strong and it's buzzing, but literally you're just following shape. So I want to introduce just like real quick in this conversation to make it less like super math heavy or whatever, like the idea of fractal, like, right? So a fractal is a curve or geometric figure, each part of which has the same statistical character as the whole. So basically it's this replicating shape that replicates in multiple dimensions. One fractal reality that's real that we can all dive into and know is the golden ratio, the repeating patterns in leaves and other, you know, things in nature, shells, et cetera. Well, that is what we have access to through like harmonic reality. Now I want to add some more to this too, right? Because when we're talking about resonance and things vibrating and we're following these shapes, right? Basically, like look at the needle chart. It's like in a harmonic perspective, it's like you're getting sucked into it, into this vortex of infinity, you know, like Alice in Wonderland status, right? Part of this fractal reality, once again, it's completely consonant with quantum physics. So let me read definition of waves in physics. Waves involve the transport of energy without the transport of matter. So in conclusion, a wave can be described as a disturbance that travels through a medium. In our case, the medium is the natal chart, transporting energy from one location to another location without transporting matter. Other things about waves too, like in waves in physics, like these are there are two major experiments that validate the harmonic astrology perspective. That's gonna be the double slit experiment, right? By Thomas Young in 1801, where he proved that light and matter can act like waves. And then the Davis and Germer experiment from 1923 to 1927 proved that electrons, so subatomic particles, can also act like waves. So back to harmonic astrology and the natal chart and all that stuff. These aspects, these ways that we're cutting things and these strings that hold planets together outside of the visibility of direct 3D matter, which is going to be the first harmonic, the natal chart, is transferring energy to create what we call reality. But when harmonic astrology, you can see the source. You go to the time, you go to the seventh harmonic, you can go to the 133rd harmonic. Back to fundamental math, just like the 360 circle that we're all divining from, the harmonic astrology acknowledges that infinity, that all these subatomic properties are coming through us to create our reality.
Okay, question for you both. How does this understanding and awareness, A, impact the quality of an astrology reading, and B, impact a person's life? Like, what does it do for us, both from the astrologer perspective and your ability to read a chart, and then from the person receiving the reading, what does it do for us?
Let me say something on this first. A competent human being who's done their inner work could sit down with a client with very little technical astrological knowledge and give the most amazing reading ever. And someone else with all kinds of technical magic up their sleeves could sit down in that same reading and give a shit reading. So it's not that the technique turned someone into a competent astrologer, counselor, diviner, advisor, whatever. However, astrology is built upon a concept that I call Buddhism 101, and that is the only thing you can change is your awareness. And that as you become more aware, whether it's of the things in the hell realms, Pluto's world, and do shadow work and go through therapy and make your life better, when you change your awareness, when you increase your awareness around those things which you didn't know or didn't see before, that makes you be able to see things in a manner that you didn't know was there. And even astrology in its most fundamental manner, just knowing your moon sign, you know, basically can open up someone's windows, doors, mind in incredible ways. And from that same token, from that same perspective, showing someone that their chart that they thought was a boring, dreary chart, whatever, in the seventh harmonic, let's just say, in the world of septiles, that chart is like a gold medal winner. I mean, it is so humming and so resonant, and yet an astrologer might miss that completely. And then what does that mean? And I can't tell you, I'm sure Clarissa has had the same experience. I've had a professional astrologer friends who I've known for 30, 40 years, and I've looked at their chart and said, you know, and they go, oh my God, you have no idea what that explains. I've been doing astrology professionally for 40 years, and I've never understood why, being the Capricorn Taurus that I am, that I talk to my angels every night and blah, 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 blah. And the seventh harmonic resonance absolutely explains that. I mean, the point is that when we delve into this, it allows us to talk about things in a language that we didn't have language previously to talk about. That's what I think is the most important thing. And Clarissa, I didn't mean to jump over you. You were excited and wanted to go, but I wanted to get that in.
No, thank you so much, Rick. Yeah, like, why harmonic astrology? It's so accurate. Like, it's insane. Like, and when Rick is talking about, you know, astrologers for 30, 40 years having a harmonic reading, they've never seen that before. It's that because that's what harmonics provide. You can't see the super high resonant frequencies that create your whole life from the natal chart. You go to the harmonics and see them, and you get it, and then it reveals all this other information. My experience as a harmonic astrologer giving consultations is, oh my God, I love it. It's like so ecstatic because I don't have to be a human anymore. I'm a complete vessel. All I do is feel, like I feel and I receive these resonant frequencies and energy. It courses through my body. I can understand how it lives out in a light from that alone, but there's more. I also get like videos, movies, you know, I can hear things. Basically, like when you're like, you know, a seventh harmonic is kind of more of like a subdued energy. I'm an 11th harmonic, and you see the 11th harmonic in my chart unless you practice harmonic astrology. So for so many years,
well, that's not true. Hold on. You can see them by looking at the 11 tiles if you're using your software to do it. You're not getting the complexity of aspects to those, but this is the difference between harmonic astrology and using harmonic aspects. And again, I'm not saying this to make any less of that. I'm saying when you do an 11th harmonic chart, any planets that you have in your natal chart that are in that 11th harmonic sequence, which is about 32 and a half degrees or something like that.
Right.
And so when you have planets in that resonance, they're going to appear as conjunctions in your 11th harmonic, which is going to show you a depth in relationship to how all those planets are fitting together. However, you can look at a natal chart and say, this person it has basically no 11 tiles. There's no connections in the 11th harmonic on a fundamental level. And then you can look at this chart and go, holy smokes, the 11th harmonic is the harmonic of the outsider. There's a restlessness, but it's like more complicated. It's like if the 7th harmonic isn't part of society because it feels alienated or too complex, the 11th harmonic is that on steroids. And so you look at a chart of one of the strongest 11th harmonic or 11 tiled charts I've ever seen, and it's the chart of Colin Wilson, who most people have never heard of. He wrote over 100 books. He wrote this amazing book called The History of the Occult, I mean, an encyclopedia. And he had a book on the New York Times bestseller list for over 2 years called what? The Outsiders. And the book was about those people who choose to live outside of the normal fabric of the social reality. All I'm saying is that you see things that wouldn't necessarily be visible, but I do want to say something else. The same excitement that Clarissa has for harmonics and what that does to her, someone else might have that with fixed stars and it's just as valid. Or someone else might have that with using a technique like zodiacal releasing. There's the problem with taking any one idea, tool, technique, and saying that is it, goes back to the psychologist needs hierarchy, Maslow, who wrote that the hammer sees a world full of nails. And so whenever we get a technique that works, we need to also be aware that it is a technique. And I believe that harmonic astrology, certainly my work in doing harmonic charts and working with harmonic aspects, informs my astrology in a very deep way. But it's not the only way to get there. In other words, it's another way, and it's a very important way in our day and age, because we have the tools to apply, to look at the stuff that we weren't able to pre-computer. There's no way that I could take someone's natal chart and look at 500 harmonics and just go, there's the one I want to zone in on. It was effortful to create a single harmonic chart.
Mm-hmm. It would take weeks and days to calculate that. But I also want to say to this too, like, harmonics actually started with Vedic astrology. So the Navamsa and the Saptamsa chart, or the
what they call the word in Jyotish or Vedic astrology is divisional astrology. They would create a cycle with divisions other than 12. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Clarissa. I just wanted to jump on that bandwagon. Yeah.
Yeah. So all harmonics started with Vedic, right? Thousands of years ago. And then, like Rick said, then we get Johannes Kepler and Pythagoras.
Let's not forget Pythagoras, basically, who gave us this idea that everything that's substance really is vibration, and that the universe consists of a vibrational interaction, harmonic resonance, and that it was Pythagoras who gave us the Western 12-note scale, taking an octave and dividing it into 12 parts. Duh, there's the 12 again. It wasn't until we in the West went to places in Africa and in India and in other cultures that we realized that our scale of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do is a great scale, but it doesn't have all the notes on it. You just sit down and listen to a raga played on a sitar, then your brain will go, wait, what are these notes? And that's what harmonic astrology does to the 12-fold look at the zodiac. And it's interesting that both Pythagoras and Kepler both contributed as much to music theory as they did to astrology theory. I mean, Kepler, you can't read a book on music theory without seeing Kepler's contributions. And they talked about the music of the spheres. It's not a metaphor. It's an actual reality, because what we call time is actually created by the revolution of objects around a center. And it's that interference patterns from those orbiting particles, if you will. Now, I know, Amanda, we've talked about this before, what Clarissa talked about, the double slit experiment. By the way, if anyone wants to see that in motion, there's a great YouTube, my friend Fred Allen Wolf, the theoretical physicist who wrote The Yoga of Time Travel and Space Time and Beyond and Taking the Quantum Leap and so on. It's about a 4 or 5 minute YouTube video. And if you Google double slit Dr. Quantum or double slit Fred Wolf Dr. Quantum, It's an animated thing that just shows how a subatomic particle becomes a particle when we measure it, but when we're not looking at it, it travels like a wave. And the fact of the matter is that that for thousands of years, we as astrologers have made the faulty conclusion that planets are particles, and we map those particles in a horoscope. However, if as above, so below, the inside and the outside are one and the same, if that's the truth, then the same particle wave duality that happens on the microcosm, in other words, light travels like a wave, but when we measure, it pops into a particle for the moment of measuring, and then it continues traveling like a wave, just like the planets. I mean, Moon is a 13 cycle per year, you know, hum. Pluto is, we can see it in a telescope, but it's basically an artifact of a hum that's four cycles a millennium. And so when we look at the planets, we're seeing the particle just like we would at a photon of light, but it's actually traveling like a waveform. And I call the planets, I call them BFPs, big fucking particles. But they're still part of the particle wave duality. And this is the shift that vibrational astrology, or even symmetrical astrology, fourth harmonic charts, which came out of the Uranian and Hamburg group in Germany at the turn of the 20th century, and John Addy and David Cochrane and Clarissa Dolphin and Rick Levine, we're all basically doing, I mean, that's where we're going. And I know I've told you this before, Amanda, but David Cochrane, who is the, you know, kind of founder, you know, instigator of what we would call vibrational astrology. David and I are born about 3 weeks apart. And we both have stelliums, and he has my Aries stellium in Taurus. And so, you know, for David, it's more foundational and grounded into a school. I'm not interested in creating a school. I'm just interested in pushing everyone along on their path.
Yes. Okay. Couple great questions from the audience.
Yeah.
Akamai Kai asks, I'm kind of wondering if the harmonic perspective would show us options where we could transcend difficult things in our fate/chart by elevating our energy into a dimension above the dynamics we have been stuck in.
Exactly. Yeah, the answer is yes. Or as Einstein said, you can't solve a problem on the level that it was presented.
Right.
My interpretation of his words. Not
yeah, so it helps us get into a different lens.
Yeah. Changing power on the microscope.
Yeah, okay. Clarissa, go ahead.
Yeah, well, people, you know, it's fascinating because I've been lucky to perform hundreds of harmonic astrology readings, and some people are really aligned with their harmonic astrology energy, but a lot of people aren't. Like, they're just like, oh, that's a calling. I thought that was just like a passing thought or whatever. No, it's your highest harmonic, you know?
Okay, so
even like, yeah.
So the way that I'm interpreting this too is, like when we incarnate, we have the aspect of ourself that is in form and is here in the third dimension, but there's an aspect of ourself that's still tuned in and tapped into the eternal. We're still in the unseen, in the place where all possibilities come from. So it's almost like vibrational astrology allows us to tap into that pattern before matter or behind the matter.
The medieval physician Paracelsus wrote, heaven retains half of all maladies. Heaven retains half of all maladies. In other words, we're living in these bodies that are really kind of shadows that are cast in the three-dimensional world from higher vibrational interactions.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
And I want to, go ahead, go. I want to add to that. Because, like, yes. The way that I practice harmonics is I use six base harmonics, which is the 5, 7, 8, 9, 11, and 13. That's not like abstract, like I am climbing into fate. That's reality. Like if you read those harmonics, People are doing that, living in their lives every day.
Yeah.
When you start to graduate and go up octaves and go up this prime number scheme, like from the 17th harmonic above 17, 19, whatever, then you start to get like these almost, and this is not, I can't prove this yet, maybe someday, but then you start to graduate into totally embodying all of the energy that's possible for you from your nativity. So for example, rules. They're like projects you live in.
Yeah. So like a concrete example, examples that any astrologers who have delved into this and probably seen these charts or looked at them, you look at a chart like the composer Debussy, who anyone who knows classical music knows that his stuff was absolutely otherworldly and powerful, yet the scales that he made up didn't fit into what was normally known here and now. Or David Bowie, who you look at his chart and you can see the Sun conjunct Mars in Capricorn and the Leo stuff and all of that. I mean, you look at a chart through the traditional filter and you're going to see, yep, that's David Bowie. But you change your microscope power to the seventh harmonic, and all of a sudden you see Debussy's chart hums. It's like every planet is all of a sudden integrated with all these other planets when you start looking at the seven pointed stars, the 51 plus degrees, which doesn't fit into the zodiac at all. Or you look at David Bowie's chart and he has like incredibly powerful dynamics of septiles, biseptiles, triseptiles, 1/7, 2/7, 3/7, which most astrologers would never look at. But what is the seventh harmonic? It's alienation, it's complexity, it's otherworldliness, it's supernatural. It's internal because it's hard to manifest it externally. And you look at David Bowie, for example, and you go, yeah, he was an alien. I mean, he was a spaceman. You listen to Debussy or Washington Irving, another strong seventh harmonic septile chart, and you can do the seventh harmonic chart and see it even deeper, or you can look at the natal chart and just see, look at all those septiles. And so just in looking at a chart and filing through, whether you're doing it in the vibrational mode of actually looking at the harmonic charts or mathematical analysis of those harmonics, or if you're just looking at it as a natal chart with the computer drawing in these complex aspects. And like Clarissa, when I'm doing a natal chart, I will typically look at the harmonic aspects in the natal chart up through 11, 12, or 13, because they're the ones that are manageable. But with the right computer software, and I know we're going to get here, we're going to be able to look at a chart and tune it, go, and we'll be able to tune it up and see which harmonics pick up all the other charts and resonate. And that then becomes part of that person's unique fingerprint, thumbprint, hum, whatever we want to call it. And as you know, Amanda, in my teaching, part of what I do is I'm less interested in doing analysis of this planet and that planet square this. I want to know what's the hum of the chart, because we're all dancing to a cosmic music, whether we hear it or not.
Okay, so I love that Rick is offering us an entry point into this. Like, if you want to dip your toes, if you're listening to this, you're like, wow, like, I'm getting some of it, but some of it's over my head, or I just need to start experiencing it. I need to start practicing with it. I need to see it to come to life. You're going to be able to do that with our chart.
Yeah, once you start using quintiles and septiles, just to keep it totally... I mean, I would actually say quintiles, that's five, fifth harmonic, septiles, seven, octiles, that's a half square, square and a half, noviles, deciles, which are just a half of a quintile, 1/10, this is half of 1/5, and 11-tiles. If you integrate those and just cycle through a chart, your ability to understand someone, where they're coming from and what they're manifesting or not, it'll just take you into another dimension, literally. And again, I'm not saying even that this is what someone should do rather than just jumping into vibrational astrology. They're just two different levels. They're two different ways of approaching. And for a lot of people, looking at the aspects is a way to begin to realize there's something here that I want to know a whole lot more about. And I'm not going to get it just by looking at the pictures on, you know, on a chart, you know, the aspects on a natal chart. And that's why we might eventually jump into a more complex harmonic charts, which I think is ultimately the future of astrology. There's no, I mean, it's going to be difficult to avoid it. Period.
Clarissa.
At this point, I also, because we've been so hype in this discussion, it's been amazing so far, but I just want to like really quickly distinguish what harmonic astrology is versus vibrational astrology, what that is. So harmonic astrology, all of these are schools of astrology, period, right? Like Rick uses harmonics, I use harmonics, vibrational astrologers use harmonics. The distinction really, harmonic astrology as a school, that was really a John Addy thing in terms of naming it in the 1970s, right? But it actually stems from, like in the modern context, it actually stems from Reinhold Ebertine and the cosmobiology crew from the like 1940s. So they started to introduce like concepts of like, you know, direct midpoint structures. And then there were schools of astrology that kind of built from the that were born from cosmobiology. That's going to be Uranian astrology. Evolutionary astrology is a sister astrology. And then harmonic astrology was also born from this cosmobiological context. Now, how it relates to vibrational astrology and the distinction, cosmobiology is like the modern hub of all the stuff that we're talking about, was research-based. It's like, okay, what are the phenomenon, right? They're starting to get into the physics of astrology. What is the phenomenon of moon conjunct Saturn in a chart? How does it actually affect plant growth or this population of people, blah, blah, blah. So then we get to vibrational astrology, which David Cochrane founded around the same time as John Addy with the harmonics in the 70s. And vibrational astrology is
David was later to the party.
He was later, but he started all his
David and I cut our teeth on John Addy's harmonic astrology. That's where that began. Yeah.
And
that was really in the 60s and 70s.
So here we thank God. Like, it's so cool to actually be talking to an astrologer who was in it like that. But vibrational astrology is the branch where it's evidence-based research, right? Because David Cochrane is also a master's in researching stuff. So evidence-based research is the only distinction really behind the vibrational astrology school. So basically it's like, okay, we're going to take tens of thousands of charts and just run. What does Moon Saturn mean in the seventh harmonic, right? Instead of like, hey, we've been looking at these charts over observation subjectively for whatever year. So that's really the distinction between all these different
schools. And just to clarify what Clarissa said, a Moon Saturn in the seventh harmonic would basically be looking at a natal chart and seeing Moon Saturn septile, that's 1/7, biseptile, or triseptile, 2 or 3/7 of a circle. They would appear as a conjunction in the seventh harmonic chart. But the thing is that in a seventh harmonic chart, that Moon Saturn can appear as an opposition, which means that it's half of a septile, which means it's a 14th harmonic because 7 and 7 are 14, or a quarter and so on. So with the harmonics, you begin to see the resonant frequencies to the natal patterns. So it's like taking it another level. And just to bring one other thing here into the equation, and I don't know if you know, if you use this tool or not, but a discussion of vibrational or a discussion of harmonic astrology would not be complete unless we talked about midpoints and harmonic midpoints. Because, you know, if you have two planets that are 90 degrees apart, there is a chart, the fourth harmonic, that their conjunction there, because 90 degrees is 1/4 of a cycle. But any pair of planets can be in a conjunction in a harmonic chart. But if those two planets, instead of being 90 degrees apart, were, let's say, 92 degrees apart, well, that wouldn't be in the fourth harmonic. That would be in a conjunction. That would actually be in the 4.01235 harmonic. Harmonic charts don't have to be even your numbers. They can be numbers that never resolve. And so from that standpoint, we can take any two planets in a chart and find the harmonic where they come together and then move every other planet around to that point so it's resonating in that harmonic. This is called an arc transformation. And Michael Mancasey has done some brilliant work on using using that concept to create synastry in relationship, where you're looking, instead of at the midpoints, you're looking at the arc transformations of the two people. It's we're at the tip of an iceberg here, is my only point, of how much research there is in front of us and where this will lead.
Oh my God, the research is infinite. And I just want to break it down really simply for people so that they understand what Rick is saying. And like, so when he's talking about an opposition in the seven is actually a conjunction in the 14, that's why harmonic astrology is so awesome, because you just follow the lines, you follow the pattern, you follow the symphonic composition. You can see, you know, where the energy goes, right? And then you just follow the shape. Like, I'm getting back to like the beginning where it's like, you have to be this like advanced mathematician to blah, blah, blah. No, all you have to do is see strong shape, follow the orb, follow the music. Like, follow the energy. Where is it going? And you can do it with very basic calculation. Like, it's really refreshing, actually. I know we're talking about some crazy stuff up in here, like quantum physics, Pythagoras, you know, and all this stuff. But it's actually so liberating to feel and follow the flow in a chart and get all this information.
Okay, you two. Amazing. I think that anybody who's remotely interested in this, there's a lot of different paths that one could follow to quell this curiosity. Number one, Rick has his harmonic chart reading extravaganza. It starts next week. You can register for that at astrologyhub.com/harmonics. Clarissa Dolphin does readings on our Astrologer Connect platform. So if you're like, I want to know what my chart says, I want to know what the harmonics are in my chart, and I want to see my chart through another dimensional lens, you can get a reading with Clarissa. That's astrologyhub.com/connect. Look for Clarissa and book a reading with her there. I know there's lots of amazing like YouTube videos that David Cochran has created. So you can go really far down this rabbit hole. We're providing you some great options here, but there's also other ways to explore. I know that Clarissa, you guys have a whole school, you know, for the ones that are interested in that research-based astrological training that you can get that through David's vibrational conference.
Yeah, there's one other school here that should be mentioned. There's one other school of that should be mentioned here, and that is basically another outgrowth of what the Hamburg school was back in the early 20th century, and that is what's now called by Gary Christen, which is called symmetrical astrology, which again is still harmonically based, because it basically says that every pair of planets has a vector where they're working together. That's their halfway point. That's their midpoint, you know? And so when you take a midpoint and then you're looking at symmetries to that midpoint, you're still looking at harmonics. And so I just don't want to leave that, even though we're not going deep on that. It's as an astrologer, knowing about midpoints and harmonics are basically the two pieces that work hand in hand that break us out of the patriarchal form of 12-fold zodiac astrology. And I say patriarchal because divisions by four, divisions by two, four, and eight, divisions by three and six, all end up in the material universe. The sacred geometry of those numbers are about three-dimensional manifestation. And it's when you get to five where it gets trickier, because five is a crossover point because it's based upon the golden mean. And let's not forget that it was Johannes Kepler who was the first person who actually understood, he discovered the relationship between the golden mean and the symmetry of the Fibonacci number series and of those patterns in nature. And of course, it was Kepler who discovered or created the quintile, which we know is the basic hum between Venus and Earth. You know, it takes the Earth 365 and a quarter days to go around the sun, and it takes Venus about 224 and a half days to go around the sun. And 365 and a quarter divided by 22 and a half, well, what a surprise. It's the golden mean. It's 1.62, because that's what Venus is on a vibrational level. Venus beats the frequency to Earth that is the golden mean frequency. And the golden mean is aesthetic perfection. It's love, it's beauty, and so on. And so this becomes a point. The fifth harmonic is a point where the metaphysical becomes physical. It's the point where, like a five-pointed rose, there's a lot of five-pointed stuff in reality. But when you get to the sevens, there's very little and almost no seven-pointed geometry in the natural physical world. So we're pushed up into the cerebral realms of the metaphysical realm, which is feminine, yin, matriarchal. And so we don't even realize how stuck we are in an astrology that was written by guys for guys in a culture that basically discounted yin way, the left-hand, right-brain way of perceiving things. And that's part of what this whole delving into harmonic astrology is a re-equilibrialization. Is that the right word? Of the gender equanimity is, I think, the right word.
Okay. Question from Karen. Can a newbie learn from next week's class?
As long as you know, I would say that a newbie can, defining what a newbie is. If you don't know basically the planet signs and some basic, you know, concepts about, well, what's a square versus a trine, it'll be a lot all at once. On the other hand, the idea of thinking that you need to learn enough of astrology before learning harmonics is backwards. I mean, one of the best blessings that I had in my astrology career was that the first two astrologers that I really read were Dane Rudjar and Michael Meyer. And I never realized that quintiles were less important than sextiles. I never learned that. And therefore, I've spent 50 years looking at quintiles, where many people say, nope, I don't look at them until someday they begin to later on. And there's no reason to wait to jump into vibrational astrology, harmonic astrology, symmetrical astrology, or harmonic aspects. Absolutely no reason to wait.
Some of my best students who are like the most fire harmonic astrologers right now didn't know anything about astrology or harmonic before they started taking classes. So I agree with Rick on that. Sometimes just jump in, man. It's probably bad. It could be better.
Okay, cool. Thank you both. It's been super fun to have you both on the show together. I love that you're on the frontier. I mean, I know it's been around for a long time, but it seems to be coming back into awareness. I can only think it's a good thing that we're starting to expand beyond where we've been. And thank you for being on the forefront of that and bringing that to our community, because every time it's talked about, there are people that are just totally lit up by it. They're already tracking with it. They completely get it. And so having these places where they can go and learn more is really, really important.
You know, Amanda, one of the things for those people who have taken the Foundations 3 course on harmonics, it's easy to get lost in head-tripping land when it comes to this stuff. I mean, it's so cool. And I totally share with Clarissa's, you know, love for just getting lost in the incredible magic of the mathematics of how it all just works. Fascinating. However, that's not this upcoming class. This upcoming class is, we're looking at charts. Every week, every class, we're looking at 4 charts per class, a half an hour per chart, doing a deep dive on how those aspects are working in the lives of the students taking the class. We'll be doing 16 student charts in the class. And so this is not theoretical. If you want the theoretical side, you can go back and take the, you know, harmonics course or do a deep dive. I mean, there's many, many good books on harmonics David Hamblin is a great source, a British author, and there's many other books too. John Addy certainly, but this stuff can be kind of mathematically overwhelming. But this is not that. This is just looking at charts. And I'm also going to be offering, you don't know this yet, Amanda, but I'm going to offer everyone who's taking the course an Excel spreadsheet that I've developed where you can put in your natal chart planets, and it'll calculate all the harmonic resonant points to your natal chart. Because one of the problems that we've run into is that a lot of people don't have software. They can calculate their quintiles on Astrodeans, but not their 11 tiles or elf tiles or duodeciles or whatever you want to call them. And so this will basically give people a tool where they'll be able to go back and just plug in all they'll need is Excel or, Google Sheet or whatever it is. And they'll be able to use this and calculate out their planets.
Yes. Amazing. Okay. I love what Ethereal Synchronicity 444 said. Gotta love Rick's passion for it all this time in the game. Love your style, Clarissa, and really want a reading from you too. So awesome. Thank you both so much. This has been such a joy. Thanks to all of you for being willing and curious enough to go into these like portals. We're exploring all these amazing things. Thank you for just being you and for being here and for being a part of our community. Thank you as always for making astrology a part of your life. Look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Go check out Rick's class, astrologyhub.com/foundation, and Clarissa's readings, astrologyhub.com/connect. All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you soon.
The entirety of our known universe, from the subatomic microcosmic level to the galactic macrocosmic level, is all built upon the blueprint of sacred geometry. Everything in the cosmos is made up of the sacred geometrical laws that bring reality into existence. You know, traditionally, we astrologers look at these patterns through a 12-fold system based on 12 signs of the zodiac. However, dividing a cycle by 12 is not the only way that nature works. It's just a very convenient way for us to mathematically divide a circle by 2, 3, 4, or 6, which, of course, creates the traditional aspects all astrologers know well. Unfortunately, this patriarchal bias prompts us to miss a lot of the action when we divide a circle by the magical 5, or the otherworldly division by the number 7, or even the motivational number 8, in order to widen our astrological thinking so we can make invisible worlds visible. We're going to look at quintiles, the division by 5, septiles, the division by 7, octiles, called semi-squares and sesquisquares, that's the division by 8, and even more. Hey all, this is Rick Levine, and I'm excited to be announcing my latest course, Unlocking the Magic of Harmonic Aspects. This, as some of you know, is one of my favorite astrological topics, and I'm quite pleased to be teaching this on the Astrology Hub. Although the course actually includes a one-hour introductory video that's a crash course in harmonic aspects for anyone unfamiliar with them, it's also a refresher for those who have already studied some of these aspects. But the course is not a course on theory. It's a hands-on practical application of harmonic aspects for natal chart interpretation. I'm going to be reading 4 charts per class in 4 2-hour live Zoom webinars, meaning that 16 lucky students will be chosen in advance and will be brought on screen to have me analyze to unfold their harmonic aspects, revealing things about charts that maybe these people have never had put into words in an astrological session. So I invite you to come along on a mind-expanding ride and take a next step into your astrological studies. More information, details on the curriculum, and registration is available at astrologyhub.com/harmonics. I'm Rick Levine. See you online.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.